Hey everyone, and welcome to the second episode of my new podcast, Between Throws. The goal of this podcast is to just explore a little deeper into how jugglers think, what makes them tick. Every juggler is different, and they all have a different perspective on juggling. And that's what I want to explore with Between Throws. If you didn't check out the first episode with Sean Gandini, I highly recommend it, not just because it's my podcast, but because I think it's really good. So make sure you check that out. For this second episode, I was able to talk with Delaney Bayless. I first met her when she was a little kid, and for just a moment, I was better than her. I think that lasted about a week. But since then, she has grown into one of the most phenomenal jugglers of our time, if not of all time. She's incredibly skilled, and she is one of the most driven people I have ever met. Between Throws is made possible by everyone who's listening to this podcast right now. Thank you all so much. The response to the first episode was great. You were all so supportive and kind, and I really appreciate it, and I'm so excited to continue this project. Big thank you to everyone who supports me over on Patreon and the Juggler's Guide. Your financial support does make this possible, and I really appreciate it. If you have a couple extra dollars and you want to support my work, you can go to patreon.com/taylortries or jugglersguide.com. Just like with the first episode, you can listen to this podcast hopefully anywhere where you listen to podcasts. But there also is a video version of the interview on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/taylortries, where you can see us in person actually talking about these things, as well as some additional footage for context so that you know what we're talking about. I will say Delaney in particular has some really funny facial expressions, so I do highly recommend you check out the video. Either way, thank you for listening or watching. One last thing I want to say. Many of you have probably realized that this episode is late, by about 2 weeks. Now, if you follow my content, that probably isn't much of a surprise, but nevertheless, I really am dedicated to this podcast, and I did fully intend to have this out 2 weeks ago, but unfortunately, some life stuff came up that made it particularly hard. It's not an excuse. It's not even really an explanation. It's more of me just saying, I really do intend to release these on time, and I'm sorry that I dropped the ball this month. This was a unique situation, and I do not intend to let it happen again. The next episode will come out in 2 weeks on the last weekend of the month. Thank you all for your patience and your support. Without further ado, let's get into Between Throws with Delaney Bayless.
I'm often so intense, and I want to do so many things, and I'm so sure that I can do them. I don't want to be held to some external standard. Mine's high enough.
Welcome to this podcast that doesn't have a name yet, unless I've come up with a name, in which case it is called Between Throws.
That's a great name.
I agree. Genius, it's a great name. I worked really hard on it. I'm here today with Delaney Bayless.
Yeah, you said it right.
I know. Known her for 20 years, I would certainly hope.
20 years? All right.
Probably not 20 years.
Maybe 10.
Yeah, I think I calculated from when I was 13, okay. Not from when you were 13. It's fine. 10 years.
10 years.
10 years is enough to learn how to say your last name. Yes. So yeah, it's Bayless.
Bayless,
not Bales. So we've already gotten that first question done. How do you say your name? So this is Delaney Bayless. I don't feel like she needs any sort of introduction. You're pretty well known in juggling. You know, you've managed to carve a name for yourself. Is that the saying?
Yeah.
I think so. But do you want to tell people a little bit about what you do or who you are?
Yeah, I'm a juggler. I'm from Salt Lake City. Woo, represent.
Yep.
I've been juggling for the last 12 years. Recently started performing more. I'm currently working with Cirque Elwaz in Canada and soon France. I've won a couple IJA and WJF competitions. Yeah.
Just a couple. Some of the hardest competitions that you can win. That sums it up better than I would have been able to. If you aren't familiar with Delaney, make sure you check her out in any sort of festival that she might be at or on the internet where you post like 3 times a year.
Or never.
Or never. Did you post last year?
No.
Oh, no.
No, maybe this year.
Yeah.
You know, up my game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because you have a really interesting approach to posting, right?
I do.
What's that?
And honestly, at the beginning, I was very anti Instagram, and then I had a teacher at circus school who's like, you have to have an Instagram, like, have to. So I was like, whatever. So I made an Instagram, and the first photo on there, it says for career planning, and I threw up this old photo, and I was like, done, good, like, passed the class, great. And then it was like COVID and I had a couple random clips. And so I was like, I'll throw them on there. And so, yeah, they're just like high level juggling, but no presentation value. Maybe a funny caption occasionally, but yeah, it's low key. And I'm so not the kind of person to like put my life out there at all. So it's just juggling. Super, super me, super boring. It's great.
It's the opposite of me. Do you,
sure, we should blend a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah. I'll just post for you.
Yeah.
Do you, you said that you were at circus school. They mm-hmm. made you do it. Mm-hmm. Is that for like marketing? Is mm-hmm. that the idea?
Yeah. We had to make like a website and Instagram and yeah.
Do you feel like social media has helped you at all?
Probably. I've gotten a couple jobs through Instagram, I guess, through just people knowing me. And then I guess it helps you stay relevant. I feel like I should probably have more like professional things. I'm like, this is what I'm up to, but I just don't want to.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Until I feel like I have to, then maybe I will. But I also love that no one really knows what I'm doing.
Mysterious. So I really love the captions of your videos. It's my favorite part. Like the one where it's like how to make pancakes or something, mm-hmm. like a recipe. Mm-hmm. I think it perfectly sums up your very particular sense of humor a lot of people don't get to see.
Thank you. Yeah, maybe not most appropriate for this podcast, but one of them is called the Artful Flasher. It's like the Albert body throw one. And when I was at circus school, there was this guy in this neighborhood in Philly that I lived in, who was called the Artful Flasher.
Oh boy.
And he would like go around and expose himself. I hope my mom doesn't listen to this because I've never told her this. She didn't want me walking home at night in the dark, but I did anyway, of course. And so I'm like walking home one night and there's this guy and he's got this tripod with this like camera set up. And so I like walk by him and then I turn and maybe he said something. So I turn and he just like open robe, nothing underneath. And then he's like, do you know where the nearest train station is? And I'm like, yeah, a couple blocks that way. And I just keep going. And I'm like, oh my God, I ran into him. And yeah, you can look it up. So that's where that came from.
So that one's dedicated to the Artful Flasher. If you're listening, sir, I hope you found your train station. And I hope you appreciate the honor that it is of having a video dedicated to you by one of the best jugglers in the world. That's awesome. I hope your mom does listen to this.
Yeah.
Hello, Mrs. Bayless. Is that her name?
Yeah.
Does she go by that? I'm sure she has a real like first name, but
when I was younger, probably more.
But I don't even know if I've met your mom.
You have. She was at IJ 2019.
I met your mom.
Yes.
I don't know if I've talked to her much. We should remedy that. Send me a message. All right. Very cool. I love it.
Great.
So this podcast, I don't know if I sent you the first episode or if you listened to it. Probably not.
It's not out yet.
So no, but I have it saved.
Okay.
It's going to be out soon. So I think I gave you the general concept. I just want to explore like how jugglers think, what makes them tick, if there's any through lines between jugglers. That's the general premise. You're an interesting person, so I think it'll go pretty well.
Great.
I don't want to intimidate you with my 2 pages of questions.
Yeah. Are you going to edit this or this is just...
Yeah, I'll probably edit pieces. Okay. If you don't want anything, you can tell me. If you're like, I don't want it. I am putting the Artful Flasher in there.
Great,
so that's
great.
Gonna be good.
It's honestly one of my better stories.
It's a great story. All right. I wanted to start with the first question that I think will just piss you off right away.
Uh-oh.
How do you personally define juggling?
You're right. Okay.
And I want to... I know it's such a cliche question, but the reason I ask is just...
Personally,
I really don't want you to feel like you have to give any sort of answer, like just for you.
Okay, great.
Because that's the point of this, is to see how everyone sees it. Mm-hmm. Like not what is juggling for everyone else, like just to you.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure. For me, I don't know, juggling is sort of like an escape and it's something that I can do really mostly whenever I want, as much as I want. And it's kind of my own personal endeavor to strive to be better at something. And it kind of has that undertone of like, oh, no matter what else is going on in my life, I'm progressing at this, or like kind of that internal self-worth, you know, somewhat. But yeah, to me, it's a much more of like a technical pursuit and wanting to improve my own abilities.
Do you feel like, I know you said that when you were like a kid, you jumped from hobby to hobby and hobby and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like if you hadn't found juggling, there would have been something else that you would have attached to so much that gave you that self-worth?
I hope so.
Yeah. Like it's something that you inherently want.
Yeah, I think for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know why juggling was the thing that stuck, but it did. It's still going. But I'd like to think that I would have done some sort of athletic endeavor, but on some sort of competitive, maybe soccer team, or done something maybe nicher than that. But yeah, I don't know. I do think I kind of found the perfect thing.
What do you think is there about you that makes juggling perfect for you?
I think, again, just that I can teach myself as much as I want and practice on my own. I really am meticulous about my schedule. So when unplanned things come up, or when someone wants to talk to me and I'm in the middle of something, I don't always do amazing. So having to rely on other people for something that's so important to me would be challenging.
That independence.
Yeah, for sure. And so I know I can just, like, as long as I have a gym, I can always just go in and practice and get better. And yeah.
Do you feel like when you have to do team things, or when you have, like, you are slowed down by other people?
Hopefully not. Like, I think juggling is just, like, in some ways right now in my life, one of the most important things. And so I value it more than other things. And so when I have to do, like, projects at school with other people, or like I'm in a performance and we have to do a different act together, I kind of set those expectations differently. And so it doesn't matter as much. But yeah, certainly when I did teams with Zach, we had some we had some moments. But yeah, he definitely stuck it out, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, you're a really interesting person this way, that you've excelled so much independently as a solo juggler, but also have achieved so much as a team. Like, I know you've won the IJA Teens Championship with Zach, but also have done performances where you're working with some incredible talent passing.
Sure. Yeah.
Do they feel really different to you? Like, how you approach it?
Yeah, I have this habit of, I write down all my drops on stage. And so I did this.
You write down all, wait. what do you mean?
Mostly just for, like, long-term contracts. Like, I don't do it for, like, one-off juggling festival. Okay. But I started when I was at Smirkus, and broke down, like, every time I dropped on stage for, like, an entire summer. It's like 69 shows. And I don't have that one on here, but I have my more recent one.
Yeah, what's the format? You write, like, I dropped on this trick at this time code.
So here's the current one. This is like the number of shows, and then if I was dropless, I have a fun little emoji. And since it's like a water,
it's with the ocean.
Well, it's the show is called Entre Ciel et Mer, between sky and sea,
something like that. Yeah.
So I have a little sea emoji for dropless, and then some things that are in parentheses are things that I'm trying to do longer runs of. So I'll record if I did longer runs.
Interesting.
And then I'll write down the trick I dropped on. And
kind of a nerd.
So. What were we talking about?
I don't know, but this is exactly what I wanted. Yes. Yeah.
When I did this contract in Switzerland, I couldn't do one of these because as a team we drop, and some things were my fault, some things were his fault. And so I couldn't be like, Mario dropped,
do better.
And then write it down, you know? So I let it go, and we just kept track of how many, in general, dropless acts we did. But
back to that, because it's so weird. Why do you, in the best way, like, I love it. So you write down if you drop. Do you use this as motivation? Like, what is it?
I like to kind of, at the end of summer at Smirkus, I totaled everything. So I could see I was 95% on my 3-up 360, or like I was 100% on my 3-ball cat, you know, like whatever it was. So I could see my percentages. You know, I sort of made my own, like, stat sheet for like a basketball game, essentially. That's what it was.
That's awesome.
But I like to see, like, oh, I was struggling with this and now it's better and now it's worse. Or
do you use that as like, okay, I clearly need to work on this? I mean, that seems like the most obvious use of that.
I feel like for a lot of the tricks, at least in this act, they're just like focus drops. I'm not like focused enough. Like, everything is super solid mostly, so.
Can you work on the focus part?
Yes, I think so.
What do you do for it?
I kind of have a certain practice protocol at the beginning, and it depends on what contract I'm doing. Like at Monty, I would do, we had this opening sequence where we like walk down the stairs and then we do like three up and then another three up and then we did like this. Anyway, we had this little, like our own five club sequence that we did. And so I do it like, I think I did it three times dropless before every show, and then I would do some extra stuff. Like I did a lot of reps. I overtrain 100% in my life.
That's a good thing probably for your line of work.
Yes, I know I should do less, and I think I would be better if I did. But
why do you think you'd be better?
I think I get in the place of like, sort of, I have this idea in mind of like things in life are just going to come up anyway that are going to like make it so I can't practice. So if I just always plan to practice, then randomly things will happen and I can't practice. And so I count those as my days off. It's a bad idea.
You don't actually plan days off. Exactly. Chaos will make you stop.
Pretty much. And when I'm back in Utah, it's far worse than when I'm on the road.
Stuff popping up?
No, just with the, like, I can actually take a day off sometimes when I'm on the road. But when I'm in Utah, it's just like, why am I not training?
Because you have the space.
Yes, and more time generally.
Right. So. Interesting. Yeah. So you think that having downtime is really important, but you have a struggle actually scheduling it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, it
should
makes
be
sense.
Easy, right? To be like, I'm done today.
But I think it's probably a big part of why you're one of the best in the world.
Yeah,
you're clearly one of the most like motivated, competitive people I've ever met.
Thank you.
Yeah, like I'm fascinated by your brain with juggling. When you're not juggling, do you think about juggling a lot?
Definitely when I was younger, more and more. But now I try and rethink through the practice I had. And like what I did, what went well, what I want to do better. When I was in Montreal, I often like walked back from training. And so I'd like use the first half of the walk to like think through everything. But now it's like, oh, I'm eating lunch right after. So I have to like make sure I take time to think through everything. I have struggled to like write down exactly what I want to do. So I generally just think about it. And if I didn't think through what I did earlier today and kind of analyze it, then I don't know. I'm not like I just show up to the gym and do whatever I want. I'm very like I'm working on these things and I want to get better at these things. And
do you prep going into it too mentally? Are you like
very general though of like, oh, I want to make sure I get these done and maybe if I have time I'll do this. But yeah, it's not as planned out. And I also like if I didn't plan, then I would just do the same thing every day. And so I have to like consciously think, try the new things.
I think that's a problem a lot of jugglers have. Like I certainly get stuck in this on autopilot and I'm not getting any better.
Right.
Yeah. Do you, when you're thinking about it afterward, like how specific is the thinking? Is it like, oh, that five ball stuff was kind of rough, or was it like, wow, I keep
like
dropping
balls. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. That's true. Never mind. I did my research. Or is it like, you know, I keep dropping the seven of this ring pattern.
Right.
Like,
I usually think about like, how many times I did a certain trick and how long it took. And usually there's like little cues that I'm looking for of like, oh, every time my left hand's too low. And so when I'm, you know, whatever. So I try and remember the little things that made the trick work better.
Because you're adjusting that stuff during the practice too, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And often it's like the same little problem every time. And so if I can remember the problem, then I can fix it sooner.
Do you feel like during practice you're overtly analyzing that stuff, or are you trying to just like kind of flow into like a meditative muscle state? Does that make sense?
No, I think in some ways I kind of coach myself of like after I drop, I'm like, geez, like higher on the right side. Like, oh my God, you know, I try not to be too critical, but like higher on the right side.
In one of your interviews, I found it really interesting.
Which one?
I think it was... I don't know, I've listened to a few. I think it was maybe Dan's, but you said how you used to watch TV when you juggled, like when you were younger, and then during COVID you went back to that and it just didn't work. Like it was way too distracting. What about you now do you think has a hard time with having that background noise versus when you were younger?
I think when I was younger I was so used to it.
Okay.
And I would also listen to the audio. So I'd have the TV on. Right. And now I always have headphones in because this, especially with clubs, like the sound of it bothers me.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
It does. Especially when I'm training in a room with other people and it's like a bunch of aerialists and it's like silent and I know I'm there and I'm like doing 6 and 7 clubs. And I'm like, I'm so loud. And then I have to be like, it's okay.
If you're alone, does it bother you?
No, but I tend to still put headphones on.
Do you find it a little distracting?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm worried I'm loud for other people and I feel really bad. So I have to like.
I hate that about juggling clubs in public.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you're doing like 7 of them.
Yeah,
that's a lot of noise.
When you're dropping, it's like.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, because I know you've mentioned like certain music can be distracting if it's not matching the beat and like.
Yeah. I tend to like warm up to music, just like the beginning easy, like high throws and stuff. And then I'll switch to a podcast. And ideally it's a podcast that it's always sports, pretty much always. I was listening to one today and it was these two girls and they were like, it was starting to get too high energy. I was like, calm down. I need to change it.
You can't chill out.
You can't be this excited about anything.
You're such an excitable person that I can see how that's hard.
I know. It's like
your energy is always really high. Speaking of sports stuff, it's one of my favorite things about you is that you, it seems like you've always watched like some sort of sports documentary or always are watching, like we had lunch a couple weeks ago and there was a sports game on the background and you could just, you were like mostly there and partly like, here,
yeah.
Which I appreciate that about you because it clearly affects you as a person. Like you like sports. Do you feel like your interest in sports affects how you juggle at all?
On one side note, though, going back to the TV, I recently broke another TV. So it's currently broken in there.
And in your house?
Even today.
Your parents' home?
Even today, my dad's like, wow, you don't watch TV anymore. I was like, nope. But I've been gone for 6 months and no one said anything. So no one goes in there and uses it. You know?
Because it's broken.
It turns on. It's just like one of the, like the screen's half shattered, you know? And so it's just. If they want me to replace them, of course I will. But
how many TVs have you broken in your life, juggling listener? That's how you measure true greatness. Two.
Two. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah. Sports, though.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're clearly interested in sports? And like, I mean, is there something about? I mean, there's so much about sports, but like, what about it do you like so much? Do you think it is similar to juggling?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I guess I'm obsessed with like the process of getting better at something. So like the day out of like going and getting better. And I always thought like it'd be great to be a basketball player because all you go in, you do your shots, you know, you run your sprints. There's not all these tons of tricks and tons of things and. Little meticulous things, you know.
Doesn't it feel like it would be harder though in some way because you can only practice so much and then there's just chaos that you can't control.
It's true.
During a game.
Yeah, it's true.
Your responsibility personally is less, I guess, is maybe what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess just like the total like turn your brain off and just shoot 1,000.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what juggling is. That's why I'm describing
what
I
do. Wasn't gonna say it, but that's this idea of like you like watching the greatest at a sport do the same thing and get better. Do you get inspiration from that of like, I should try that same technique?
Somewhat. Maybe more of like the like sports psychology side of things or I was listening to a podcast today with Caleb Dressel. He's an Olympic swimmer, really good.
Cool.
And he was talking.
Cool. I don't know anything about sports.
It's Sunday, so my normal sports show isn't on. So the weekends are hard for me. I have to find other things.
So cool.
Anyway.
Love it.
But no, he was talking about like the inner critic, and he was so critical of himself. And like even he'd like, I don't know, won mostly gold medals at the last Olympics, and he was like upset with himself and his performance. And so that was interesting.
Do you relate to that?
No, I'm not. I don't. I think I've gotten easier on myself as I've gotten older. And more of like, yeah, I can't do this now, but in a couple months, hopefully, I can do it. So no, it's not. I don't have that deep promise, which I was actually thinking about. And I was like, cool.
Good. I'm not broken.
But obviously, there's not that much pressure in juggling. And
yeah.
It's internal, I guess. But.
When you watch or listen to sports stuff, do you like, ever consciously relate it to juggling at all? Like, oh, that's how I feel about juggling, or oh, that's similar to how juggling works, or anything like that?
Somewhat. I think maybe I just have like so much drive, like internal motivation. So when I watch something like that, maybe it helps me like lower that a little bit of like watching sports and watching documentaries. It's just, I don't know. It's some sort of release for me.
It helps you lower your drive.
Yeah.
Why?
I just feel like I'm often so intense and I want to do so many things and I'm like so sure that I can do them. Sometimes like it's like being around other people who have a similar mindset kind of like calms me down.
Interesting. See, I would have thought the exact opposite. I would have thought that like it motivates you to try to be more competitive or something.
No, I think I'm already there.
You're maxed out. It just makes you maybe feel less like alone with being hyper competitive.
Yeah.
Interesting. If you could teach any athlete to juggle, who do you think you would pick? Who would you pick and who do you think would be the best at it?
My favorite skater, like skateboarder.
Okay.
It's Nyjah Houston.
Cool.
It's very good. I'm sure. No problem. I could juggle.
Oh, really? Even though it's like a foot activity.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Imagine might be a nice break from.
Well, if they're listening, hit Delaney up. She'll teach you how to juggle.
He's like this guy with neck tattoos who like lives in LA in this huge house. So I think I'm good, but I think he's got no interest.
What do you think would make him good at it?
I think just having a bunch of athleticism and
coordination.
Yeah. I don't know. I imagine most athletes could learn to juggle pretty quick.
Yeah. I think a lot of people who tend to be good at a particular type of juggling are also kind of have an athletic background. Besides juggling, do you think there's a sport that you understand best?
I think I could talk shop on a lot of sports, but I think I know very little as far as like tactical
on skills. Pretty much all of them.
Yeah. I could explain as a fan how to watch them and a lot of storylines in a lot of different sports. I could not tell you what a zone two defenses and
that is a thing. So there's that. It's better than a lot of people. I want to pivot because you and I have something in common. I don't know if it's changed for you, but you've said a couple times that one of your favorite jugglers is Doug Sayers, and he is absolutely in my top three of all time. And I have my reasons for that, but I just whether he still is one of your favorites, what about him do you think you were drawn to so much as a juggler?
Such a clean foundation of technique. I don't know. He was definitely one of the first jugglers I probably saw. Growing up, he was like the definition of cool, you know, with the haircut.
He does also have like an odd smoothness to him. Like he's
for sure.
So chill.
For sure.
Which I think you actually embody a bit, which is funny.
Yeah, I'm not. My juggling is not that clean, but
he is one of the cleanest jugglers I think that's ever existed. And it's funny because a lot of people don't know who he is anymore.
I know. It's true.
It's super weird.
It's true.
So, yeah, did you feel like you tried to emulate or get inspiration from a lot?
I did buy some orange PX3s, which I probably used for about a week.
I also had orange PX3s. And I did not like them at all.
I know.
That's great.
I hope we got some endorsement money from that.
So he's still juggling, by the way. If anyone's interested, he's performing in Vegas.
Absinthe.
I was really happy to hear you say that you really liked him. Yeah, let's see, where are we at?
Page two.
I mean, I don't think I've been, I'm just kind of going with it. What is something that if you took it away from you that you think you... that was good. Anyway, Taylor messed up. Definitely continuing perfectly from the Doug Sayers conversation. Did not talk for an extra 10 minutes that didn't get recorded.
Could have been worse.
Could have been much worse. He's just so engaging.
Thank you.
You know, you're just so interesting. Okay, so for the first time asking you, what do you think is something that if you took it away from you, that you would probably not have become a juggler or the juggler?
I feel like I should change my answer to surprise you. My tennis shoes, actually.
What?
No. Probably the ceiling height at the house I had. Yeah, it's funny, though. One other thing is Chris Hauser. I don't know how you say his last name. But his dad built him this juggling studio. And I remember my mom came home one day after we'd visited him. She, like, pulled the fan to the side. Because also in the room, there's, like, I should really do a tour of this room. Because it's unique. But, like, there's a ceiling fan that we've pulled to the side for so long that I don't know what's gonna happen when we take it back down. But anyway, I remember my mom came and she like pulled it aside and she walked up to my dad and she's like, I just saved you $40,000. So that was my that's my juggling studio.
It's really supportive parent. That's
they
nice.
Are. Yeah. Yeah. They are. And every time I hit something in there, they're always like, you know, they always make some sound so that they know that I know. Slightly ruining their house.
So your ceiling. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what, I'm so mad that we, it was so good too.
Do you want me to summarize what I said earlier?
Yeah.
I don't think I would have gone somewhere else to juggle. Like, it was so convenient. Like, I'm never going to have a practice space, maybe, that's that close to my, where I sleep. Like,
right.
There's my room, and then there's a balcony, and then there's where I practice. I could really just jump in, you know? I don't, but I could.
Do you feel like just having that extra step of having to drive somewhere would have been...
Yeah, especially at the beginning. And, like, I could come home from school, and I was already in my practice space. I didn't have to, like, make an extra stop, but go here.
Right, because you were young, too. Like, asking your mm-hmm. parents for permission or
for
help.
Sure.
And
for yeah. sure. It would have been much harder. I do think that there was kind of a level of, like, oh, I can always practice. So maybe I over-practiced or even wasn't as focused, because sometimes it is nice going somewhere and having it like, I'm here to do this.
But an intentional goal.
I was pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Besides the TV.
And you feel like you wouldn't have had, like, maybe gone a slightly different direction if you...
It probably just would have been like every other hobby I had, and I would have, like, maybe gotten a little five balls, and then something else interesting would have happened.
So the ceiling, you think, because I remember, yeah, sure. You did say that you used to hobby jump a lot, which I think is a common thing for jugglers. And the perfect scenario presented itself.
It really did.
You think that's the only thing about juggling that made you really stick to it versus something else?
I think my mom surprised me with going to my first IJA. And so then I, like, saw, I'd, like, seen quite a bit on YouTube, of course, but I think seeing it in person and having, like, goals of, like, oh, I want to be a number someday or be in the competition or do X juggle, like, stuff like that was, it gave me, like, an outlet beyond my own, you know, drive to get better, to, like, have things to do and pursue.
That's interesting because you grew up in juggling in the era of the internet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even that in-person...
Mm-hmm. So important, yeah.
Was, wow, interesting. I wouldn't have known that because, yeah, for me, it was like the internet just kind of mm-hmm. started because I'm old. But, like, it's good to hear that that's still a huge difference.
For sure.
And I've heard you say that you really like the IJA festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even still. Yeah. You've been to so many.
I really haven't been to that many, though, because I've missed a lot in the last couple of years. But maybe I've been to 5, which isn't that many.
Ever? 5 festivals?
2012. No, IJAs.
Oh,
IJAs.
No,
sorry,
I meant, like,
sorry.
You've been to so many festivals.
Yeah. Yes,
I have.
It's
like, what?
You just happen to be at all of them.
It's so crazy. Interesting. So, with numbers, you were just talking about, you know, you want to compete in numbers and stuff someday. In one of your interviews, you said that your numbers are not that great, which I chuckled at because to a lot of people, you are more of a numbers juggler than, like, me, obviously, mm-hmm. which is true, and I'm sure you would agree with. But you don't consider yourself a numbers, like, a real numbers juggler? Or
no. I mean, to me, numbers is, like, 11 balls, you know?
Yeah.
Like, crazy stuff.
How many can you do?
9.
Okay.
The max. But
so many difference.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of have, like, this middle ground of, like, 5 to 7 clubs or 5 to 8 rings. And I don't really juggle balls, so. Yeah.
I find your juggling really interesting because it is sort of, I don't know if a lot of people would see it as a hybrid, but it mm-hmm. seems like it is to me, where it isn't just what I think you might think of when you think of pure technical, where you're just doing as many as possible, as hard as possible. But you are doing extremely technical juggling, as opposed to maybe a more, like, 3-ball shape-based juggling mm. or something. So you seem to be clearly on the side of technical, but you don't strive for, like, numbers as much. What do you feel like when you juggle is your goal or your focus?
Mm-hmm.
How would you classify your style?
Certainly for what I've done on Instagram, I would say it's probably different from my normal training. Like, normal training, I do a lot of, like, very traditional, you know, like, whatever. Like, was, you know, whatever. Like, the standard things that I think are just helping my, you know, technique get better. Certainly for Instagram, I've tried to always be a little adjacent to the norm. And, yeah, coming up with things of, like, the balance with the 360 or, I don't know, like, body throws with rings. they still feel very, I don't know, they're things I'm interested in and enjoy doing. And at circus school, I was always the technical juggler.
Yeah.
And Zach was the creative genius, you know, and which he is, I'm not denying. But so he definitely pushed me a little bit more to be creative and kind of find a blend, which I think has been helpful. But yeah, I don't know. I also like working on things that I know other people most likely aren't working on or thinking about.
Yeah, and thinking about especially. Like, yeah. I look at your stuff and it's like, not only do I think no one else can do this, nobody else would think to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also, yeah, just like writing down on a piece of paper, like, what are the 7 ring tricks that everyone else is doing? And what is, like, what is something that I do with clubs that I have never done with rings or
interesting. Stuff like that. Okay, yeah. So you try to, like, cross mm-hmm. that, okay.
To be creative, I have to be very systematic about it.
I think that's honestly a way that a lot of people are creative. Like, I think a lot of jugglers do that. I was going to ask how you come up with some of your creative tricks, which, mm-hmm. like, in addition to that, comparing to another prop and maybe something you can do, do you get any inspiration anywhere else?
Yeah, I think there are things that I've seen. Like, I know I've seen Gina do, like, the club balance.
Yeah.
And I think I've seen Kellen do maybe a 4-up with a club balance or maybe a 2-up with 4 clubs. And I was like, oh, I don't think anyone has done that. And I do try and, like, combine skills that I'm good at. Like, I know I have a good 5-up 360, and I know, like, my balance with, you know, 5 is quite good. So I'm like, if I can just, you know, mesh those and get away with it just once.
Yes.
Then we're good. Yeah, or, like, I'm pretty good at 5 ring back crosses. What about 7? Is that reasonably possible? And I'm also fine working on something for, like, an extraordinarily long period of time. Like,
yeah.
I don't need the, like, okay, I can get this in 2 weeks, you know? Like, I have goals that are, like, too long, maybe.
Interesting. So. But you said most of, like, a lot of your practice is sort of traditional, technical. Mm-hmm. I know in one discussion once you said that, like, that one really difficult trick might have been really hard, but mm-hmm. leading up to that, the foundation stuff you feel mm-hmm. really solid with. Mm-hmm. Do you sort of think of it like that a lot? Like, oh, I'm going to train this foundation that's more just traditionally technical because I might use it as a piece later mm-hmm. in creative stuff.
For sure. And I also think of, like, I've learned so many things that I don't currently do. Like, yeah. At one point I was really good at this, you know, it would, like, I could get back and I could do that for sure, but I don't work on that anymore. You know, right. I look at old videos and I'm like, wow, I used to do that, you know, I used to be really into that. So I think it evolves. And certainly for tricks that I'm like, would ever put on Instagram, I try and think about what I'm actually doing in my practice now that's like maybe unique or interesting that I could like just bump up just a little bit, trying not to do like a big reach as much anymore.
Do you feel like difficulty is typically one of the motivators though, like how can I make this a little harder or as a push for your creativity?
Yeah, for sure. Of like, I have the 5-ring foot catch with a ring really solid, but I was like, I could do that with 7. Like my creativity is just like 2 more, you know?
I mean, yeah, that is a type of creativity. That's one of the things that I always push back on people is we sort of get this like, there's artistic creative juggling and technical juggling. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, technical juggling can be very creative. Mm-hmm. And I think you're a great example of that. Your act also has some very creative, again, kind of trick moments. And I like that you kind of right at the beginning, just get out of the way like, oh, I can do 7 clubs.
Most of the time.
I mean, I'm sure you have a list of how often. Yes. What's your percentage? 98.6%. So I think it's, I love that, how you just sort of like, here's the technical stuff. Now let me do some weird, cool things. Mm-hmm. I know you really like body throws. Mm-hmm. What about those do you like so much?
This was another one of like, I have so many memories of like, okay, it's 9:00. It's the end of my practice. The next 30 minutes, I'm just going to work on body throws. And also one other maybe unique thing about me is my parents didn't have cable, so when I turned TV on, it was a lot of like what I call the old people shows. And so I remember I watched Welcome Back Cotter. Do you know that one? Yeah, that's what I learned through club body throws too.
I'm gonna be clarifying, I am not old enough to have watched those when they were on, but I also watched a lot of old stuff when I was a kid. That's interesting. When you hear them now, like if you come across them,
are
you
like the theme song for that show?
You're like, I need to practice body throws right now. Suddenly, I have this urge.
Yeah, but I think also just growing up hearing like, oh, body throws or Alberts are really tough, you know?
Yeah, they also, are.
They are, that's true.
I hate them so much.
I think that was also a motivator of like, okay, not that many people do them.
They were also, there was like a blip in juggling time where those were just
really
it.
Popular.
Like the Doug Sayers era was, everyone wanted to do the
for sure.
the hair flip, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just, it's the best. Oh, this is just a random question I thought of. You've now done like there's clearly stuff that you do that you practice that's just for the hobby side mm-hmm. of your stuff. And then you have also branched into a pretty successful career as a performer now. If you could just eliminate any sort of preconceived notion of what a career in juggling is, mm-hmm. what would for you be like, I wish I could just do this and get paid for it?
Interesting. I think there's one side of me that just wants to like buy a barn in Vermont.
A bar or a barn?
No. Barn with an N, please, everyone. Sorry. A barn in Vermont uh-huh. and just like that true like athlete of like all I do is I have everything like scheduled and I just go in and train and come back. And
do you think you might ever do that?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But then there's also I do really enjoy living different places in the world and performing, and that has been, I'm sure, far more rewarding than a barn in Vermont would ever be.
I think that's really interesting because knowing you when you were younger, I feel like if you had told yourself, oh, I'm actually really going to like performing, mm-hmm. do you think you would have believed it?
Yeah. I mean, one other side note as yeah. far as like a funny Delaney story, just to get them all out of the way.
We love them.
When I was like eighth grade, my mom and my grandma and my sister, we were going on this like trip, this big trip to France. And I was like, I'm sick. I can't go because I wanted to stay home and juggle. I didn't want to miss like a week of training.
You're such a liar.
And they, of course, took me next door to the neighbor who was like, she's fine. So I went. But it's funny now that I'm going back to France because of juggling.
Yeah.
And so it's this weird like.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Juggling was like, I'll get you.
But yeah, performing has definitely become more and more fun because I've gotten used to it. And there's still elements that I don't really love or like certain types of shows I don't enjoy.
Do you want to elaborate on what those are?
I really enjoy being like in a show that's always the same and I always know, surprise, when to warm up, when to go on. It's not like I'm like, how long is this act? You know, should I, I'm getting cold? What should I do? Don't enjoy that as much. Yeah, and I enjoy being like having my social situation lined up for me.
It probably becomes like a family almost, mm-hmm. right? I've never done it, but
for sure.
That's nice. It like forces you to be an extrovert.
I know. It's great. It's
Would you consider yourself an introvert?
Yeah, I'm trying to be less and less so, you know, go up from the bottom, you know, from the zero to like, you know, three.
Out of 10?
Yeah, like if 10's extrovert, you know, I'm trying to climb up the ladder a little bit. But
juggling is good for so many things.
It is.
Do you
my facial expressions are also going to be a highlight of
I'm gonna
this
just zoom in on your face. Do you think that there is a key ingredient for jugglers that makes somebody prone to being a juggler?
There's a lot of jokes that I could come up with.
Okay. I was like, what? You can say one.
No.
Your mom might be listening to this, so just remember.
She's learned a lot in this interview. Sorry about the TV. I don't know. I think often jugglers are people who have never quite fit into any other area of their life, maybe. Not everyone, of course, but I think generally we're a little quirky in some way.
I agree.
But I think often in different ways, which is what really makes it interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point of this whole thing. Wrapped that up beautifully for me. Why, thank you.
And cut.
Yeah, I mean, I think we covered most of my stuff. The one little question I just thought was interesting was like, you clearly just don't juggle balls. You have before.
And I now have some new ones.
Yeah, from a great company. Speaking of, this is sponsored by my company, The Prop Shop. Go to jugglingstory.com. You clearly at some point were just gravitated towards clubs and rings, especially mm-hmm. rings, more so than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. What about rings do you really like?
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing because I haven't really juggled rings since June at this moment.
Well, then we can just back it up and do something else.
But I think for rings, though, when I really got interested in it, it was just so much easier for me to be creative with rings. Of like, they have different flips and like throw them different ways. And people don't tend to do overheads and back crosses with them as much. So it just, to me, it felt like the things I was interested in were the most unexplored. And yeah, all the way through maybe a year after high school, I was juggling all three. And then I did like a little show and I didn't juggle balls in it. So I was like, oh, I'll just focus on these. And then I just focused on the two for a long time. And then now I'm in a show, I just juggle clubs.
Slowly limiting down to one prop. I know I've heard you say though before, like it's hard to, you've struggled with, do I get good at all three? Mm-hmm. Or do I get really good at one? Mm-hmm. Like, do you think about that a lot?
Yeah, and there's definitely some exceptions of Spencer, who's amazing at all three. Or
right. But even then, it's a question of, like, if he just did one, would he be better, right? Like, that's an interesting concept.
I do think I'm slightly more prone to injuries just juggling one prop. This better now, but I was having some, like, hyperextension problems with my thumbs.
From clubs?
Yeah, from clubs, which I know if I was doing rings or balls, especially rings, I wouldn't have that problem. So that is definitely a thing. But more for me now, it's like, I know I can get 2 hours of practice every day. And so for me, it's hard to be like, oh, I should do rings and then I should do clubs. So it's just so much easier just to do one.
I think it's really interesting because for me...
You're like 2 hours.
I mean, I've definitely reacted to that. It's still my favorite moment ever with you. Besides when you looked at my very tall ceiling and said it was too small. But the moment where I asked you like... Very honestly, like minimum, how much do you juggle on a daily basis if you juggle? Like, what's the minimum on a busy day and stuff? I thought you were going to say, like, a half hour. And you're like, like, 2 hours. And I was like, minimum? 2 hours? Like, this is why you're so good. I mean.
Yeah. And I probably, the longest I haven't juggled in my entire life since I started was maybe a week when I was traveling with my mom.
Wow. And the whole time you were just like.
Yeah, pretty much. Never more than 2 days off in a row, which is extremely rare.
And I know you definitely seem to follow the Anthony Gatto advice of, like, you need to practice every day. You think that that's still good advice? Like,
yeah. I think the need is more, was like a, it's a need.
Like an addiction?
I think it's a, I would call it a very strong habit.
Okay. Sean Gandini in the last one mentioned that he thought it was, you have to be obsessive and borderline possibly addicted in order to get really good. So, but no, a strong habit is a good way to put it.
Yeah, strong.
You quit anytime.
Strong committed habit.
Yes.
That's it.
That's pretty much it. I think that's all I have to ask. You answered all of my amazing questions. Thank you for being so great. Do you want to tell anyone like what you're working on or what they should look out for? Any fests, any shows? Any upcoming Instagram clips?
You know, I'm going to continue my mysterious, you don't know what I'm doing.
Just going to pop up like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I don't know. I think things always change when I plan them. So I'm just going to see how it goes.
It's an interesting through line for you of this like hyper planned.
Yeah, and I also don't like, I don't like saying what I'm working on because it could always change. I don't want to be held to some external standard. Just mine. Mine's high enough.
This is so great. I'm seeing all the pieces coming together. I'm like, yeah, that fits with everything we've talked about. Very independent. Yeah. Very
very strange.
No, it's great. Yeah. Because I found it really interesting how you texted me yesterday. And you were like, could we move the interview later because I'm trying to find time to juggle.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you have juggled after? I'm super happy with it. I just think it's interesting.
You know, and I also knew that Taylor was one of the few people in my life that I could say, hey, I need to juggle. Can we move this? You know, versus my sister doesn't appreciate that. You know, I have friends that are like, okay. No, I did something in the morning and I'm going to my cousin's in the evening.
Okay.
So really it was like, and I would always rather train when I'm fresh and especially in the juggling studio. As I call it. The lights at night are terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible.
Artificial lighting is always hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's got like some skylights. So in the morning, it's great. So I was like, okay. Just squeeze that in there.
That's what I figured. Like, and also maybe there's an element of like, you don't know exactly how long this is going to go. And you're like, I know I can get juggling in before.
Yes, exactly.
But if Taylor, for some reason, forgets to record half of the episode, then we don't know how long this will go.
Calling me out.
No, it was not. I think it's interesting because it shows how you prioritize And I respect the crap out of that. Like, I on the other hand, would be like, oh, shoot.
Bummer.
Guess I can't juggle today. It went later and it's dark. But I'll do it tomorrow. And that's why you're Delaney and I'm Taylor.
I think it's... Different skills. Skills.
Sure.
Yeah, you're not on my podcast. I'm on yours. So.
This podcast hasn't come out yet. So we'll see.
It also may never.
Exactly. So you know me so well. 20 years.
That's where you, so I could say anything.
Anyway, thank you so much for doing this. You're,
of course.
You're super interesting, super great. Go check out Delaney at wherever she pops up. Yeah. Mystery. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it was fun.
Thank you so much for listening and watching the second episode of Between Throws. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something out of it. I'm really enjoying this podcast so far. I hope you are too. And I hope you check in for the next episode of Between Throws. Please consider leaving a comment letting me know who you think I should interview for future episodes. The Between Throws intro song is a wonderful track by the artist I love called Gem. You can check out that track as well as their other music on SoundCloud.com. Our end credit music is by the artist Psy315, who also happens to be my talented brother. He doesn't have a SoundCloud, but he does have an Instagram where he shares his art and his music. You can check that out at Instagram.com/Psy315. Thanks so much, and goodbye.